Greetings and welcome to As You Wish Talk Radio. And I'm your host, James Gillen, and we're on the BBS network. And we're broadcasting live from Mexico. So if you hear some bombs going off in the air, it is Saturday night, dogs barking, loud music, you know, all the above. Just ignore it. We are in Mexico. So there's a lot happening right now. I want to do a little bit of breaking news before we get started, because I had some friends that live in Hawaii, and actually Maui, and they sent me this alert. And it says that there was an emergency missile alert, and it said ballistic missiles threat inbound for Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. You know, so, you know, a lot of people were freaking out. A lot of people were, you know, going into schools, basements, and wherever, you know, wherever they could get away from these inbound supposedly missiles. And it took about a half an hour, and then finally they came out and revised it to a false alarm. So it's quite interesting. I bet you that made a lot of people reevaluate their day, and maybe probably a little more appreciative that it continued. So, but anyway, some other breaking news. Fox News, Tucker Carlson actually covered UFOs, and he brought on Leslie Keenan and a pilot who actually encountered a UFO displaying impossible maneuvers, which would most likely be fatal to most pilots. And question is, was it ours or was it theirs? You know, because we do have our own secret space fleet and a lot of crazy stuff up there. Hannity also did a show about SETI, you know, a couple years back, and ABC, History Channel, all of them have done shows on SETI, but unfortunately, it's always sanitized, you know, and they use a lot of our footage as background footage, and then they have other people talking, you know, on their shows. I'd love for them to come out, see for themselves, do their own filming, which they did, but they didn't show the, you know, we have ships a mile wide plus landing. We have all kinds of crazy footage, you know, treetop, below treetop level, ships interacting with people on the ground, and, you know, as many as 200 plus witnesses at the time. And we've got Air Force base commanders, triple PhD Boeing engineers, Lockheed engineers, Skunk Works engineers, all of these people that were there at the time and testified on coast to coast that, you know, that these UFOs are there and they're not ours. You know, what they displayed was abilities far beyond anything, even in our black projects. So it's been a done deal. It'd be nice to get the real big picture out there. I want to talk a little bit about the disclosure project. I don't want to beat this into the ground, but it seems like it's all the same players, you know, with some star power, same group, you know, bringing out the same disclosure and kind of putting a spin on it. I wish they would start talking about the big picture and how these are our ancestors and they are returning. And they're here to clean up the negative ETs that have been here since the beginning. So we don't have to worry about those coming from the skies. It's those that have always been here and those who have been influencing humanity for quite some time and not in a very positive manner. So anyway, so it's just kind of perpetuation of the old stuff. They're just not really going to get into it. But we'll see, you know, you never know. It could take a turn. Maybe we'll get back on Hannity or Tucker Carlson or get them out to the ranch and they can have their own experience and then they can go live and talk about it and see where it goes from there. You know, also in the news too, I noticed that, you know, I'm trying to say this, you know, first I want to make a disclaimer. I'm not a political person. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm an observer and I just observe what's going on. And I'm really having trouble even observing what's going on. It's beyond ridiculous. I've never seen such disgusting behavior in politics in my life. And, you know, and a lot of people, you know, the biggest news of the day is, did Trump say, you know, some of these places are, you know, shitholes, basically, is what he said. This is internet radio. I can say it. You know, referring to some of the really undesirable places, which we really don't want to bring immigrants in from. And, you know, that's a no-brainer. It's basically some of these people, and I'm not being judgmental, but we need to use an extreme vetting. And some of these people have You know, they do not love Americans. They especially American women, the way they treat them, and they're just not a good fit. You know, I'm sorry to say. You know, so when Trump, you know, blurts out the obvious, you know, which he does, and I find it hilarious, everybody flips out and they come unglued, and you know, and they don't even deal with the big picture. I mean, they're not even addressing the issues, the big issues, what needs to be done. So again, you know, it's ridiculous. You know, and they have the race card or the insane card and all of these things. And, you know, I can tell you, you know, in my book, Trump is insane, because who would quit? You know, who would leave? He had a beautiful life. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got children. He's rich. You know, he's got everything going for him. Who would want to have your life under total scrutiny, you know, under a microscope, no matter what you say and do, with all these people just waiting to jump on your back, you know, and also not get paid for it and actually lose money in the process? His assets are actually dwindling, because he's using a lot of his assets to you know, take care of his venue. So, you know, I can go on and on, you know, basically, you know, to take on the swamp, you might say, and these people, which are basically pathological liars, and you know, are just out to get him no matter what he does. You know, they just attack him. They don't, there's no there's no debate. There's no logic to what they're doing. They're not even addressing the issues. It's that Trump derangement syndrome, and it's there. Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. Just be the observer. It's definitely there. The press have been trying to take him out too. Why? Because he doesn't play ball with the bigwigs, you know. So anyway, basically, you know, look at the other ones that came before him. Look at the assets they came in with before president. Look what they went out with. And look at what he's doing. And you know, there's only two answers to that. Is he insane, or, you know, does he truly love America? And is he trying to straighten things out? I think it's the opposite. So nobody's perfect. I'm not a fan of politics in general. And I think we need a council of grandmothers or a galactic federation, you know, to oversee things. And I really think people need to lead themselves ultimately. You know, basically, if you're here to restore the republic, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, universal law, get rid of the feds who have been just hijacking the wealth and of the world, basically, and leaving people in abject poverty. You know, if you're going to put an end to that stuff, then by all means, you know, you've got my vote. So, you know, nobody's perfect. You know, you know. No matter what he does, the press, these press, and these guys that are throwing rocks and stones, you know, are living in glass houses, and they're going down one after another, you know. And I know who's going to be left standing. It's not going to be them, because, you know, it's universal law, basically. So, you know, let's get back to universal law, you know, universal peace, brother, sister, love, individual freedom and prosperity for everybody. That's universal law, and start creating heaven on earth and hold our leadership to that. It's that simple. You know, if they're self-serving, if they're not fulfilling their mandate, and this includes all agencies, if they've strayed away from the powers that were given to them and overstepped their boundaries, you know, we need to step up and say enough's enough and try something different. You know, Einstein said the form of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. And we really need to do something different on a major way. So anyway, that being said, I've got a great guest tonight. And I've got Naomi Cook, and she's an author, blogger, registered nurse, Reiki master, medical intuitive, intuitive healer, theta healer, and she's published her memoir on how she healed me on her journey to transformation, and is also the author of children's books. She loves everything and anything cosmic, figure skating, dark organic chocolate, and bunnies. I don't know where bunnies fit into this, but obviously she probably raises bunnies. So anyway, Naomi, are you with us?
Hi, yeah, I'm here. I do love bunnies.
Right. And
Hi. How you doing?
Oh, doing great. You know, I really wanted to get into this project. The Project Starseed, you know, project, and how that's going, you know, and what it's all about.
Yeah, I'd love to tell you all about it and how it's going and where I hope it will go. So yeah, where do you want me to start? Do you want me to explain what it is?
Well, you know, how did you get started in this, and what's driving you to, to put Project Starseed together which is now a global movement?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's put it into context first. It's a great idea. Gosh, where do I start? Let's just start recent, because we can go back into childhood stuff later if it comes up. But so I only woke up 2 years ago, February the 4th, 2 years ago. And it was this crazy Kundalini style awakening. Everything happened really quickly. And during that first year, I was able to address some homesickness that I'd had for the stars that I didn't understand through realizing that we are eternal, immortal beings, you know, universal beings that are sort of fractals of a source consciousness and a oneness. And so I thought that that would be enough to satisfy this ache and longing I've had for the stars since I was 15, 16. And I've also had other issues in my childhood too, relating to being in a human body, but I can discuss those in a minute if you like. So I thought in that first year of waking up that by realizing that, you know, I had a soul and I wasn't just human, that would be enough. But when I started doing my energy healing qualifications last year, I was completing a certificate in intuitive healing. And as part of the certificate, we had to look at ourselves. And I was good with my upper chakras. And when we got down lower, I knew I would be facing some issues in the root, because I have always had issues with this concept of being grounded. I did not want to be grounded. I had no interest in being grounded. I did not want to be here grounded. And so we got to the root and I thought, okay, I don't feel like I belong. I don't have a tribe here. I don't want to have a tribe here. I don't want to even heal my root. So I really have a problem. And so I thought, if I'm going to be any good at healing, I really need to look at, you know, this feeling of not belonging here and not wanting to belong. And so I sort of threw out a plea or a command or a demand or just an intention to the universe that it show me, why am I like this? I know I'm an immortal being now, but why do I have this visceral longing for the stars? And then things began to happen after that. The first thing that happened was I found a Facebook group called Meets Earth's Cosmic Neighbors, which was helpful. In that group, I found a physicist called Graham Forskott, whose website is unifiedfields.com, or Unified Fractal Field, something like that. He's an amazing physicist, and he does this fantastic new style galactic astrology. I'm sure you'd love to speak to him, James. Oh, are you still there?
Yeah, actually, I was totally gone there for a while. I don't know what just happened, but
oh wow!
I know they're having all kinds of problems, both at the station and probably here. But interesting. So anyway, I'll just telepathically pick up where we left off, and maybe we can talk about some of the people that are with you and working with your organization and some of the things that you're experiencing, you know, with them, some of their stories, et cetera.
Oh, well, I don't have anyone else's stories yet. So with regards to where we're at now, perhaps I'll just go back and just finish what I was saying, because was everybody else able to hear what I was saying?
Yeah, I believe so. I think was the one that disappeared.
Okay, cool. Well, what I was saying is, so then I got this chart done by this galactic astrologer, and it showed some Arcturian connection, which was very interesting to me. And I don't remain attached to that. I have, which we can explain later as well, a very open, definition of starseed for a good reason. But this was interesting to me. And as I looked at my chart, I could see for 2017 that there was an alignment of Ceres or Ceres. I don't even know how you say it. It's the C-E-R-E-S. Is it Ceres? I reckon they say Ceres here. Yeah, Ceres. Ceres with Earth. And it was aligned so that it was pointing right out to the Arcturus star system, along with an asteroid that I think it's Astrometria, which reveals sort of plotting and precision. And I was mulling over what that alignment might mean, because for a few weeks I've been having this sensation that I wanted to gather star seeds for the purpose of making the concept real in the 3D mindset here. So bringing it down from being something that might be seen as woo-woo or weird and bringing it down into the 3D mindset. And so I was mulling over that over a period of weeks, and then just one day I was making dinner and the words Project Starseed just popped into my head. And I was like, oh my God, Project Starseed. I don't know what it is, but that's what it is. And I went upstairs and I had the domain name within a few minutes. And within 5 days, the whole thing was up and running and people were signing up. So it happened just because I opened myself to anything. You know, I didn't have a set idea as to what I wanted to do or even, you know, what I was supposed to do, but it just happened to me. So I could now perhaps look at the question that you asked about the sort of the demographics maybe on who is signing up so far. Mm-hmm. Yes. So yeah. So it's in, you know, in the grand world of the internet, it's still really small. There's, I think this morning there was 877. It's growing every day. But these are really meaningful numbers, because this is not just, you know, like a Facebook group or a Facebook page where you put a like next to a post. These are individuals who have, A, you know, given me their name, B, parted with their email address and agreed to go on, you know, my headcount, my awakened headcount. So they've taken an active step to be a part of instigating change via this movement. They are the pioneers of this movement. I mean, I really hope it grows over the next few years. But these guys, the ones who were starting off, they're the original movers and shakers. And so we've got over 39 different countries. So this is saying something huge, right? Over 39. Yes, huge. This concept of being starseed is not relevant to one particular culture or education system. It's something that is, you know, global.
Yeah, I know down here in Mexico, I've had some really interesting experiences. And I'm just trying to kind of recharge down here, not get so involved in a lot of things, but you can't get away from it. But, you know, I'll be just sitting down and having lunch and somebody will come and sit down at the table with me, and you know, they'll ask me, what do you do? And I, you know, I said, do you really want to go down that rabbit hole? and you know, it's hard to explain, but I said, you know, I'm an author and lecturer, and I've written some books, and I cover everything. And what I do, I cover everything from ancient origins to spirituality to higher physics to you name it. And they're going, really interesting, you know. And the next thing you know it, they're like, energetically, they're starting to have a meltdown, you know, and they, you know, and next thing they blurt out, you know, I believe we're not alone, you know, and it starts there, and then it goes, in fact, I've seen the ships, you know, and then it keeps going, and then all of a sudden, they're shaking and crying, you know, at the table, and telling me their whole story, you know, and it just keeps happening over and over.
Oh my God.
And I think it's amazing that, there's so many people out there that have their stories. They've had their context, had their experiences, but you know, as you know, there's been no support for that for quite some time. And it, you know, in the old days, basically they would meet you with, you know, deadly resistance. Basically, you know, it was so bad, and ridicule, and you know, they'd throw you out of the church and you name it. You know, so you know, you'd lose your job, get thrown out of church, be ridiculed. You know, it goes on and on and on, but now with the numbers, you know, you look at Texas, you know, they had a major flyover Texas. And they took polls on that. 99% of the people believe UFOs are real. And the lowest polls I've seen are in the high 80s.
Wow.
So I don't know. To me now, I think if you're a newscaster and you make fun of people that have seen a UFO, you're the one that looks like like kind of an idiot, basically.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, what's been really interesting, at least so far, I don't have the ages of everybody who signed up, but in the Facebook group, I can see there are a lot of, definitely not many millennials. They are mainly Gen X and older generations, which is really fascinating as well. These are respectable, you know, normal people who've lived normal lives, who've had this cosmic connection their entire life, but haven't been able to talk about it or express it. It's just been kept inside, you know, and now we're coming out. Everyone's coming out bit by bit.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a big flap, you know, in the 40s and the 50s, especially after we, you know, lit off a few nuclear bombs. You know, they say, oh, they went, oh, my God, they found the matches, you know. So the ships were appearing everywhere and warning people, don't go there. And I know they actually met with the government as well and told them, you know, look, we'll give you the you know, the fuelless energy, the clean technologies, don't go in that direction. And they chose not to go with the more benevolent ones, but because they had a thing too that went with it, you have to stop war, no more war. You know, you have to all agree, no more war. We'll give you these other technologies, both fuelless energy, anti-gravity, counter-gravity, you know, probably healing technologies as well. Yep. And unfortunately, our leadership went in another direction you know, obviously that didn't turn out too well, but and that offer is still there now. I mean, we have that offer, and now we have to press our leadership to, you know, take the high road this time and put an end to the other nonsense. Are you getting a lot of stories from people, just mainly people talking about their own sightings and experience or
I would say that the majority of individuals so far are probably more focused on sort of the concept of interdimensional contacts, the telepathic through meditations and things like that, less so with regards to actual 3D style, you know, seeing this and seeing that. That's interesting. I hadn't even thought about that before, but it is mainly inner connections that people are feeling. And some may be seeing, in fact, there are some who have emailed me and they do regularly see ships and things like that. It's hard because the Facebook group is pretty small. The email list is much larger. So I don't get a clear idea of, you know, the whole group.
Yeah. Have you put out a questionnaire, like maybe some kind
I'm thinking of doing that. I wanted to do it, actually. That was on my list of things to do, like almost like a survey. And my intention in doing that would again be to help bring down into the 3D mindset here this concept. So one thing that I wanted to accomplish with the project was to bring this understanding, a new understanding of what it is to be human, down into the 3D mindset here. And one way that we could do that with the project was literally just by numbers, just by our grouping, because here in 3D, groups and numbers, they mean something and people can understand them and relate to them. So the more people you have saying, you know, yeah, I'm a starseed, the more real it is. And so I thought that if I did like a survey, you know, having a look at some of the idiosyncrasies of the people who've signed up to help bring things down a bit more and get a clearer idea, maybe I need your help with that.
Yeah, you know, the American, I think it's called the American Institute of Science, I'm pretty sure I have that correct, but they did a questionnaire up in our area, and we have one of the most, you know, highly publicized Bigfoot sightings, you know, anywhere, you know, basically, and a lot of research goes on in Skamania, you know, where they've had a lot of scientists and doctors and people like that trying to document this. And it's kind of funny because they put out all these apples and bananas and things like that, and fruit and cucumbers. And they put all their high tech equipment up, you know, to try to catch Bigfoot, and according to their perspective, they think he's just a dumb ape, you know, like problem is Bigfoot outsmarted him every time and actually went beyond their technology and got the fruit every time. So good luck in figuring that went out, because they don't realize this being can jump dimensions, you know, it can phase whatever it wants, you know, and the Native Americans have a saying, you know, if you go out searching for Bigfoot, you'll never find him, but if Bigfoot wants to find you, you know, he will, and it's all about consciousness and, you know, having an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent, and then they'll find you. But what's interesting, getting back to that, is they put out a survey. And it was a questionnaire on the people that have had sightings, and it was very intricate. Like, it would say, you know, do you wear glasses? You know, what is your vision? Are you on medication? You know, are you? It was very concise. And then they would say, what, you know, what was the height? You know, what was the color? Was there anything different about this being other than a human, you know, or an ape, you know, and things like that, you know, and very specific, you know, very specific questions, and to weed out, you know, people that might be, you know, were you on drugs, you know, were you drinking, were you, and, you know, very specific questions. And what was amazing out of that, when you read the reports, a lot of the reports were coming in from doctors and professional people from all walks of life. You know, a lot of people that were railroad engineers, you know, that would see them on the tracks, and pretty amazing, you know, forest rangers, everybody, you know, people. And what was really interesting when you read these reports is that they all were giving a lot of detailed information that you wouldn't know, or unless you've had a sighting, basically. Yeah. You know, one of the things is a lot of them just basically, they don't really have a neck, you know, they look like football players, basically. And they come in every size, shape, and color. And a lot of the details about its gait, how it walked, how it phased out, you know, they were looking right at it and it phased out. It disappeared. All of these, you know, very detailed information about them that you know, most people wouldn't know. And and also too, what I found out too is that there are different subsets. There are some that are more human looking, and there's some that are a little more ape looking. I think there's some more advanced, some more primitive. And I believe there's actually one that is an android, because we found 4 foot long hair that was crystalline base, and it was hollow tube, and it was perfectly hollow, 4 feet long crystalline base with other trace minerals in it. And we took it to fiber specialists, and they looked at it, and a forensic guy, and they said, what is this, alien? They go, we can't create it. We don't even know what it is. You know? So I think they have them on the ships, and they have them as their big bad dog. You know, if they want to, if they're doing work and they want to keep people out, or keep it patrolled or whatever, I think they have some that do that as well. But maybe that might be something for you to do, like get a, you know, and don't worry about offending people. Just say, look, we need to ask these questions, and this will give your story even more validation. But be honest, you know, we need to be honest. You know, if you were stoned or drunk or whatever, you know, yeah, say so, because you know it's okay, you know, because there might be other people that will corroborate your story. That weren't, but you know, I hear that all the time. You know, we have a no drug, no alcohol policy at the ranch, and you hear that all the time. You were stoned, you know, you were on drugs, and things like that. And I said, well, no, you know, but you know, every once in a while we have a lot of people come through there, and you can't patrol everything. You know, somebody might sneak off and smoke something or break the rules, but overall, you know, most people that come up, you know, they're definitely not on drugs. They're drinking, and they see the ships, and they you know, they filled up their own experience. But I think it'd be great to do that. You know, just get that's one of the things I don't really care about. I've already done the documentation stuff. I get so bored doing that. And a lot of the researchers say, you know, look, you're not filling out exactly when you saw it, where you saw it, how long did it land, you know, all these things. I just said, God, the evidence is overwhelming now. It's like, I don't have the time to do that. But if you want to come up and do it, you know, feel free.
And I guess for the Project Starseeders too, the focus isn't so much on what we've physically experience here in, you know, 3D, 4D, but more on our inner thought processes and feelings that, you know, we're not from here. So I guess for us, it would be something, looking at this homesickness that so many people have and this longing for the stars and other kind of, I guess I call them starseed idiosyncrasies, but I'd like to explore. I've been reading the work of Barbara Lamb recently. She wrote a book, Hybrid Humans, so on.
Yes.
It's just so fascinating, and it's all very positive. I've been wondering, you know, yes, there's this concept of starseed. The definition, you know, that I uphold is loose and a working definition. But I wonder, too, how many starseeds with a very, very strong cosmic connection that they can't ignore. I wonder how many of those are hybrids, and that, not in a bad way, but in a good way, as a pre-incarnation agreement kind of hybrid. I just wonder, because that opened up a whole new kind of box for me when I started looking into that too. It'd be good to kind of look at that, because I think there's estimated, you know, millions of incarnate starseeds right now, and many of them are very happy and going along and just doing their thing, and they're doing what they came here to do, and that's fine. They don't need to reproclaim their cosmic heritage on My Project Starseed site, because they don't even think about space or the stars. And then there are the ones that have this ache and this life longing. Oh my God, I just want to go out there, but I don't know why. And it's visceral, and it's so physical. How much of that is a spiritual soul energetic connection, and how much is it actually genetic, as in a hybridity? And how can we find out? I don't know, because people worry about these DNA tests. And even if you did do a DNA test, what are you looking for?
Yeah, and who's going to get it? You know,
who's going to get it? Exactly.
They might target you later, you know. So
I know. Spot it.
Yeah, a lot of people go, they want me to send my DNA and to do the ancestry thing. And I said, hell no, I'm not. I said, you know, they can frequency target me, you know, once they have that. And they're
good
already
point.
Doing it. So what's the difference?
Yes. But it's true.
Yeah. What I wanted to get into is that what's interesting is, you know, I kind of fit into that category, but the some really strange things happened around my birth, and I found out later what that was all about. But there's a lot of people that, and I can explain this too in a scientific term, there's a lot of people that were upgraded. You know, they got DNA upgrades, and now working with Dr. Nemoto and Dr. Emoto, the guy who took over the other research. I spent a lot of time with him in Japan. Beautiful man. He came out to the ranch too and got to see the ships and was excited. But we were talking about how they found out that water actually holds DNA, the pattern. And also that you could actually transfer DNA with lasers. You can transfer the pattern through lasers.
Yes.
And you start looking at this and you go, my God, you know, how easy would it be to transfer the DNA into the egg, you know, into the womb.
Exactly.
Upgrade. You know, we know it can be done right now, and these people are millions of years ahead of us. So obviously it would be a piece of cake for them to do that.
Exactly.
And I know that's being done on a grand scale, and it's not just, you know, they're trying to focus on reptilian and gray hybrids, but you know, there's Pleiadian hybrids. There's the Orion Council of Light guys have been doing some major upgrading, you know, and I'm sure the Andromedans, Arcturians, and all the other ones, Sirians are probably doing that too. And you can look at people and actually see genetics. When I look at something, I can tell if they have a serious, you know, if they're serious, if they're part of the feline group, you know, I can tell if they're Pleiadian. I can tell if they have the inner earth, you know, kind of elven genes and things like that. And when you work with this for a long time and do counseling and this comes up, you start to recognize the features, and you can see it in people. You can actually see that they have, their genetics are from you know, different areas, you know, and they long for home, you know. They lived in very advanced cultures where everybody, you know, they operated under universal law and consciousness, and and extremely spiritually and technologically advanced, you know, civilizations. And so, and when they come here, they just go, my God, you know, what am I doing here? But the trick is, you know, not to want to get out of here and leave. It's to bring that consciousness.
Well, that's it. And that's the whole thing. And that's when I, so when I started looking at my root chakra issues, it was because I knew that if I was going to be, have any success in incarnating here properly, I needed to ground myself and be in my human body now. And so for me, putting up, creating Project Starseed for me was extremely healing. And I hope that it will be healing for those who take part in it too, because it is, I mean, I actually don't feel homesick anymore. That's huge for me to say that, but I love being here, and I've fallen in love with Earth, and I love humans for the first time in my life. I love humans, and that's huge. I couldn't have said that a year ago or 2 years ago. So it is healing. And when you, so when you stare that in the face, you know, your homesickness, your longing, your resentment at being here in a human body. I mean, I resented it. The human bodies suck on so many levels.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you can look that in the face and see the bigger picture, then you can heal that, and then you can really be. And then you do experience the kingdom of heaven now. You do realize that eternity is in the now moment, and everything is much better.
Yeah, I have a long history on a soul level of liberating planets, you know, and doing work of that nature. And that's what's going on Earth right now. And what's sad is a lot of people are so brainwashed by the status quo and by the mainstream media and everything else. They don't even see the big picture and what's really unfolding. But there is a major liberation underway. And the people that have held people, you know, with the gross uneven dispersal of wealth and the abject poverty and all those things, and the people that have totally basically stolen the wealth from the masses and and hoarded it and things like that, that's all coming to an end, you know, because, and they, you know, this is a different subject, but basically what's going to take these guys down is they took it so far in their lust for power and wealth. They got into, you know, pedophile activity and and predation, sexual predation, and things like that. And so now all that's coming back on them, and they're being, you know, they're being taken out by, you know, it's their karma basically. But what I see is this huge influx of energy coming in. It's the great accelerator. Yeah. And the people that chose the downward spiral are going to take it. You know, they're going to take it to the end, which means, you know, basically they won't be on the Earth anymore because they're not frequency specific to her evolution. And the people that are choosing the upward spiral are going to have amazing events happen and be privy to things that are basically out of this world, you know, not to you know, coin a phrase basically, but you know, how do you, I'm wondering if you got a pulse on, a good question to ask your people is, do you feel it's really close? Like we are really close for the big reunion.
The big reunion, did you say?
Yeah.
You mean with Star Family?
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Well, because I recently wrote a piece on that, and it's on the Project Starseed blog now on Star Family integration. It was a grassroots vision I put forward, calling for interested Starseeds to join Project Starseed and then collectively together co-create and manifest the onset of Star Family integration. So in answer to your question, yes, because... Oh my God, I got shivers now because we're talking about it because it's in our consciousness now. And I think I'm so cold. I referred to this in the article. I referred to the meeting of the mind timelines. I think it's like 2032. And then there is the E.T. Bashar as well, who when channeled, he has said that around the 2032 mark, there'll be an awareness that on Earth that ET contact has already occurred. And of course we know it's already occurred, but his meaning for saying that was that then we would be ready for open contact. But to be ready for open contact, we need to change first. And this is why I've suggested this vision of a grassroots Star Family integration into pockets, micro communities of starseeds who are ready, who've done the inner work. And then this increase in frequency and shift in consciousness within those communities may then have an effect upon broader communities. And then you've got got that positive Trojan horse analogy of transformation from the inside out, rather than open contact, masses of UFOs in the skies as a means to shift the consciousness. And we know that inner work has to be done to get external change. This is the way to long-lasting and you know, I guess, higher quality change. If you change from within, your reality then changes. And so, yeah, that's what we're working on. But that's one of the projects that Project Starseed has kind of set in motion. And I'll be setting up group meditations for members of the project to maybe even meet like on Zoom and meditate just for, you know, 10 minutes and send out our invitation, which I discussed in another article would be perfect in the form of unconditional love, because we're talking about star family members here. We're talking about our families. And so we already have that feeling of unconditional love towards them. It's there. Don't even have to think about it. You just tune into it and it's there. And then you've got this perfect welcome beacon, this magnetic pull to pockets of individuals who were ready to work from a grassroots level up to then ultimately lead to, you know, open contact. So that's one of the things.
Great. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing because I see all the lights in the sky right now. Those are just the cosmic cheerleaders, you know, just to reinforce what's going on an inner level, you know, in mass.
Yes.
And you can't, I've just seen people everywhere. They go, something's up, something's coming. You know, I feel these forces and this consciousness and energy and the movement, you know, it's getting really exciting now because you can't deny it. You know, but there are still those, you know, there's still the debunkers and the people that want to live in denial and they could be stuck in some kind of religious program or just 3D, you know, reality.
It's 3D. Yeah. Well, I was hoping that through the project too. So one of the ways in which I hope to increase cosmic consciousness here on Earth and to bring forth this new truth and understanding of what it means to be human through Project Starseed, I was hoping that the numbers and grouping was one aspect, but this Rupert Sheldrake's theory of morphic resonance deems that when you have individuals or groups learning things, that there is then an impact upon groups who are not connected, that they then can learn those things in, you know, much faster. And so this illustrates this concept of a unified field. So we are connected and we are changing each other. So this is the same for the project. The more of us that group and the more of us that talk about our grouping and are conscious of our grouping, there may then be a shift. There has to be a shift through morphic resonance to those who are still, you know, completely 3D mindset, because we're changing.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, I was going to say, you know, I'll give you a little gift, you know, it's a one liner that you can put in there because you're always going to have these troglodytes, you know, and trolls and shills and those guys coming in, you know, and I have a little one liner for them. I say, you know, thank you for establishing your ignorance and your character. Have a nice day, you know, and that's all I send out. I won't go any further, you know, Because it's true. I mean, basically, you know, they have established their character and their ignorance, you know, to what's really the big picture. And they really don't want to open up. They don't want to learn or even do any research. They just want to, you know, tear things down and create problems. And, you know, to me, it's like, you know, the bottom line, it's no skin off of me. Basically, I think it's hilarious. And truly, it goes back on them. I mean, they are establishing their own character, you know, when they pull this nonsense. But I have a lot of friends that laugh when I do that. You know, I've had people come and challenge me out in the field, you know, and I go, look at that. And they turn around and look at it and I just walk away.
Yeah. It's just not part of their reality. Is it like the ships being perceived as clouds? The tribes that had never seen ships before. Yeah. So when it's like that. It's just not in their reality. They can't see it. They just can't. They don't want to even see it.
Yeah. And you know, there's a neurological science to that. Basically, you see with your brain. Your eyes are picking up billions of bits of information and your brain is choosing out of that what's going to be your reality. And I've seen that demonstrated redundantly at the ranch because I've seen massive ships fly over. Yeah. And everybody jump up and point at it. And there's some people that just cannot see it. And it.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's because of their mindset or their inability to see beyond the little visible light spectrum that they're in. Because, you know, when you meditate and when you're conscious, and or if you have an upgrade in DNA, you can see more of the light spectrum. You can see fields and things like that that others can't see.
Yes.
And I've seen if you're really steeped in social consciousness and the material world and things like that, it is harder to experience mm-hmm. these things unless you rise to the occasion and do your homework.
Yeah, you're right. And increase your own frequency. It just comes back to the self as well. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting watching that. You know, I always tell people it's not their job to come down and fix everything here and mm-hmm. Shake us up and you know, give us a little spanking because of what we've done to the earth. You know, it's our job to clean our own act up and rise to the occasion. And then they'll help us. You know, they'll come in and, you know, it's that same thing. God helps those who help themselves. You know, the same way the off-worlders, they're going to help us if we're going forward and going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But so the project there, I guess, is taking off. I think probably after this show and a few other things, you're going to get quite a few new people on there.
I got a load of signups this week when you posted on your Facebook page. Like, oh my God, people are signing up. That's awesome. It makes me so excited.
Yeah, I think this is going to take off, you know, like a rocket. But
you know, and thing is as well, like I'm in love with Project Starseed. Like I really feel like I don't get any money from it. I'm not earning. It's not my job. It's just my best hobby ever. And I really feel like this is why I'm here. Like when I do the Project Starseed stuff, I know this is why I came. I feel at home now because of that. And so I do hope it takes off. But you know what as well? I'm remaining unattached to it because the moment that you attach yourself to what you want, then the energy becomes yuck. You can't. So I'm just letting it go and letting it flow, and whatever happens, happens, and it will be for the best.
Yeah, you can't be in this field for the money. Although there are some that are in it for the money, and unfortunately, they're really bringing things down and keeping everything nuts and bolts or in the past or whatever.
Yes.
You know, it's amazing watching that program. But you know, I tend to go, oh, you're a radio show host. You must be rich. And I said, no, I pay for this. I pay for my show to go on the air. I said, it doesn't work that way. You know, and I said, you know, though you're an author, you know, you must be rich.
Oh, my God. Said, don't even get me going about the books. Nobody buys books.
I know. And I go, no, those go back to running the ranch and keeping the staff take, you know, and everybody, the volunteers going, you know, and everything and keeping the upkeep on the ranch and stuff. But, you know, people have these weird concepts, you know, but if I were to write a novel about just social consciousness and some ridiculous thing, you know, I would probably be on the New York bestseller and probably live in high
yes.
But, you know, this is, you've got to be in this for the right reasons. You can't.
Absolutely. It's got to be love. It's got to be a labor of love. It has to be.
Yeah, it's got to be your sole purpose, basically, or it's not going to work. And I've tried to walk away several times and had to come back to it because that's what I came to do. That's aligned with my whole purpose. But I know there's so many people running on social programming and trying to be what others tell them to be and what society is pressing on them to be. And, you know, but they're starting to break out of that and going, wait a second. I'm not happy, you know, the white picket fence and the 2.5 children and you know, the SUV and the big house and everything that owns me, you know, is not working anymore, you know? And to me, I think, you know, you really don't have to be in lack. It's an abundant universe. We have fuelless energy here. We have anti-gravity, counter-gravity, you know, we don't, you know, we need to release these things and then everybody would be abundant hopefully that's where we're going.
It's true, and it is. And I think it will accelerate when more people look in and realize what and who they are. I think that's the key to everything unfolding is letting go of the external fixing us, even free energy, which it will help. But unless we do the inner work and change from within, that won't fix it either because we're going to have an internal restlessness. We have to heal ourselves from within first.
Exactly, you know, and, you know, God forbid, you know, giving people counter gravity and unleashing them on the rest of the universe. You know, maybe that may not be a good idea. Maybe we should rise to the occasion first before we go out and start messing with other civilizations. There should be some kind of a consciousness requirement, you know, before.
And it's happening. Like that is now, like I can feel that so much and I see it all the time. People are waking up, and even like down at the grocery store, somebody will say something and you think, yeah, that's much more conscious than I would have expected somebody in this area to say. So it is spreading and it is accelerating.
Yeah, I've noticed being here in Mexico that I'm very spoiled having Iseti Ranch, because I'm surrounded by people that are conscious and, you know, they are aware of all these things. And there's quite a support group there. And the people that come there are beautiful people. And they're, you know, they, most of them have open minds, loving hearts, and pure intentions. Yeah. And it's kind of like this microcosm, and which is affecting the macrocosm. But
yes.
I'm really appreciative coming down here to Mexico. Unfortunately, it's used to be a little fishing, surfing village, a very small little village 12 years ago, and now it's becoming a huge party town, and it's kind of sad, you know, because there is you know a lot of unconsciousness, but there are you know, you weave through and you meet these gems, you know, and these beautiful people that are really hungry for the information, and it makes it all worthwhile. But I know I've been. You know, coming here, it does make me appreciate, you know, the ranch a lot more and the people that come to the ranch.
Your ranch sounds amazing. We'll have to arrange a Project Starseed gathering there one day.
Yeah, one there day. You go. That would be good.
We've got to do it. It's on my bucket list now.
We'll have the cheerleaders. We'll have the cosmic cheerleaders.
Yeah, I need them.
Yeah. We call it dazzle duty, you know, that they come in and show their ships and everything. But, you know, we're having full-blown contact, and especially Iseti in Australia, over there with Peter and Salrita. They're having
touch with those guys. I need to connect with them.
Yeah, you do. They're having Palladians show up in the living room.
What?
You know,
so. I need to go find them. I'll go knock on the door tonight. Where are they?
Yeah. Amazing. They're having amazing contacts over there. And footage, too. I mean, between the two of us, the photographs, the footage, the contacts, and everything, it's just like a done deal. In Japan, too, we have Japan Iseti, and they're having amazing experiences over there. So it's, you know, it's a done deal. Basically, the evidence is there, you know, for anybody that really wants to know what's going on. But, you know, again, it's not our job to do your research for you. You know,
Yeah, it would be really good to unify that side with Project Starseed is so focused on the truth coming out as a sort of a self-revelation, because we know who we are within. But it would be good to unify that with what you're saying with the sort of, you know, the people with the 3D stories and evidence. And
exactly. And, you know, to help other people on the path, you know, that want to. And I know a lot of these things, just sharing stories. You know, we have the big campfire going there, and everybody sits around the campfires and shares their stories, and they're on the Skywatch field, and they share their stories, and it's just a major support center, and people are so grateful. A lot of people, when they leave the ranch, start crying. You know, they go, I don't want to go, you know, I don't want to go home, but, you know, the thing is, it's just like, you know, they come to Iseti, they get hooked up, they see the ships, they have the experience, and then, you know, they need to take it out into their community and share it with others. You know, we've only got a couple minutes left, so so what is the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Oh, wow. Okay, let's have a think. So there's a Project Starseed website. People can sign up with Project Starseed. There they click I am Starseed, and I make that clear that you don't have to know that you are from a certain star system. It's to do with being cosmically conscious, you know, multidimensional awareness of what we are, not just human, not just Starseed, but, you know, actual, you know, fractals of source, really. So there's that, Project Starseed. There's a Project Starseed Facebook page, which is Project Starseed Group, a closed Project Starseed group for members. There's my Nurse Naomi blog, which is my my original blog, Nurse Naomi, blogging my journey to health and wellness and my daughter's health and wellness journey there after her brain tumor. So Nurse Naomi, and then there's the Facebook page, which is Naomi Cook, Nurse Naomi, I think that is. Instagram, Nurse Naomi Cook, Project Starseed. There's a little bush nurse, my kiddies books, if anyone wants to read my kids books. What else? How She Healed Me is my memoir. You've got to go on that site. That's my book. And I published that last year. So How She Healed Me. What else? I think that's it. There's so many. I can't remember them all.
Yeah. Well, definitely people have their homework now and they can check out.
Yeah, I know.
And I think it's awesome. And unfortunately, we're running out of time, but I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and sharing, you know, your project and your vision. And hopefully everybody listening to this show will check it out and jump on that Starseed page and, and participate.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been really nice.
All right. Well, keep up the great work. Unfortunately, folks, we're out of time. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network signing off. Remember, stay in the heart. It takes an open mind, loving heart, pure intent. That's all the prerequisites for contact. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. So anyway, have a great evening. Good night.